This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Quickly finish up the last few verses of our tafsir, which shouldn't take more than 10 minutes, inshallah. And I know some of you are thinking, sunnah, okay, inshallah, don't worry, you'll pray your sunnah. We all will pray our sunnah, inshallah ta'ala. The time that you finish your salah and remain in the place that you prayed, the angels are seeking your forgiveness. So remain there longer and your forgiveness will come for you, inshallah ta'ala. We continue on with verse number 67 to 71. In these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوًا قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. And you can read through the next verses and you'll hear them tonight, inshaAllah ta'ala. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he's referring to Musa alayhi salam, this is the incident of the cow. What is the name of this surah? Surah Al-Baqarah, right? So this is the incident of the cow. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Musa, or is teaching Musa alayhi salam, to inform the people at his time, the Jewish, not to be too picky in their questioning. And so here what happened was, there was a wealthy man who had only a nephew. There was no one else that would inherit his wealth. And this nephew of his ended up going and murdering him. So he murdered him. And in order to find out who the murderer was, now the people were very upset. He was a pious man. So they came to Musa alayhi salam. And Musa alayhi salam had told them, you know what, simply slaughter a cow and this will be sufficient for you. And they got really upset and started to, you know, question it and say, why are you saying this? This doesn't make sense. You know, how does that solve the problem? How do we know who did this? And so because they continued to question, they then would ask, what type of cow? What should we do? What does it look like? And in the verses, when you read through it, inshaAllah ta'ala, you'll be able to get the gist of what was being questioned or what was being asked and the response that was being given to them. And so here we learn a lesson of not being too picky with our questions. And we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ إِن تُبْدَ لَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ. Don't ask too many questions with regards to things that eventually, if you are too picky with trying to get to the bottom of something, you realize that you make it more difficult upon yourself rather than making it easy for your own self. Right? That you ask, okay, what about this? What about that? Okay, I need to fast during Ramadan, but what about this time? What about that time? Well, this masjid does it at this time, that masjid does it this time. What about 16 degrees, 18 degrees, all these different things? How come we're praying at this time, Isha, and they're praying at that time, Isha? Don't ask too many questions. Why? You can ask, you can learn, there's nothing wrong with that. But don't confuse yourself. If you really want to get to the bottom of that or any other, you know, question that you might have, first of all, follow your community. Whatever masjid that you go to locally, do whatever they're doing. Why? The problem, if there's a mistake, will be upon their shoulders, not yours. That's one thing. So you're relieved from that. Secondly, they've been put responsible for looking after your community. So the brothers and the sisters that are there that are looking after the timings and this and that. And I'm not saying this masjid, I'm saying I received many questions today and yesterday from across Canada. And this is a big problem in Montreal as well. Yesterday I posted this picture that says Moon Wars. Instead of Star Wars, Moon Wars, right? Because at the beginning of Ramadan, at the end of Ramadan, you know, it's always an issue of a battle. Was the moon seen? Where was it seen? What did it look like? Who was the person who saw it? I remember 2 years ago in Chile, for example, the person who saw it, you know, one masjid in a Canadian city declared the moon was seen in Chile. And that masjid that declared it, every other masjid followed what they had said. But then 2 hours later, that masjid pulled out and said, oh, the person who saw it, we don't know who they are. Okay, khalas. Now all the other masajid have declared tomorrow's Eid, and you're the only masjid that's not doing Eid tomorrow because now you are not happy with the person who saw the moon, right? So it's not your responsibility, as in the regular person who attends the masjid. It's those responsible for making the decision. If they make the wrong decision, it's on their shoulders. And this is why being a leader is not easy, right? So Musa alayhi salam is telling the people, don't ask too many questions. And they continued to ask. And when they continued to ask, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued to make it a little more difficult for them, right? Instead of just going and simply slaughtering one cow, they had to find a specific cow to go and slaughter. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in that lesson, the more you question what you're being told, the more difficult it will become upon you. Of course, this doesn't apply across the board. Then in verse number 110, as we move on, we said we don't want to take too much time, inshaAllah ta'ala. In verse number 110, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِندَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And establish prayer and give zakat, and whoever and whatever good that you perform for you put forward for yourselves, you will find it with Allah. Indeed, Allah of what you do is seeing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in this verse, whatever you do will not go unnoticed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you do. He knows what you intend to do. And this is why when we come to the masjid, for example, for 20 rak'ah, let's say we're going to pray 20 rak'ah for taraweeh, right? You came with intention for 20. You wanted to do 20. You told your spouse or you got your family ready and said, we're going to do 20. We're going for 20, right? And you feel, you notice after, 10 rak'ah, 12 rak'ah, you're falling asleep. You're not even paying attention. You're literally like in another world. You're daydreaming about something. You don't even know how it's coming into your head. But you're in a different world. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your intention. He knows what you came for. He knows what you wanted to achieve. If you cannot achieve that, He will reward you for your intention. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى. Right? This part of the hadith can be applied in so many different aspects of life. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you intended. You came, you got ready, you made wudu, you prepared yourself, you brought your family, or you came alone, you told your family, I'm going to be gone for a long time, but you just couldn't do it. Alhamdulillah. Tomorrow, you'll do it. Today, go and get some rest. Right? Go and get some rest. Or go and make wudu. Go freshen up, purify yourself, run around, do some push-ups maybe. Go outside, do a lap around the building, get your blood flowing, come back in and pray the rest of Taraweeh. Do something that is going to get you able to perform it. Otherwise, Allah knows your intention, go home. Go home and rest. But if you make your intention, you know what? I'm going to tell all my friends, I'm praying 20, and you go home every single day after 8, right? And you're telling your friends, oh no, I'm praying 20. Your intention isn't to pray 20. Your intention is to pray 8. Right? And you're just making it seem as though you're one of those 20 rak'ah guys. Right? So whatever your intention is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And this goes with everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us He recognizes our efforts. He knows what we put in. He knows what we want to do, how we want to do it, when we want to do it, etc., etc. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here. Don't think that your actions will go unnoticed. On the Day of Judgment, you'll come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wonder, how is this possible? Where did this come from? All of these good deeds. I never did these things. Ya Allah, where did this come from? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you that you intended these things. You intended to help the poor. You intended to feed the needy. You intended to clothe those that don't have clothing. You intended to be good to others. You maybe never saw them in order to be good to them. Maybe they passed away before you tried to rectify the issue between them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you on the Day of Judgment your intentions held value. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in these verses that we'll recite tonight that whatever it is that you do for His sake, with iman, you will be rewarded for them. The person who does not have iman but does good, and I use the example of the doctor all the time, who is spending their day and their night treating people, doing good things for others, trying to help them, right? And yet they don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, we covered this in our last class right before I left, when we were doing our book of Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. That person, should they become Muslim, they will get the reward for all the good deeds that they performed. If they do not become Muslim and they die upon kufr, they die as a non-believer, they will not be rewarded for all the good that they do. Because the tipping point is iman. You have iman, the scale goes down. You have no iman, there's no such thing. Right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 114 of Surah Al-Baqarah, He tells us, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهَا أُولَئِكَ مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَنْ يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيٌ وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And who are more unjust than those who prevent the name of Allah from being mentioned in His mosques or in the masajid and strive towards their destruction? It is not for them to enter them except in fear, meaning they don't allow others to enter the masjid to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that they're scared, or they must abide by certain rules and regulations, or they're simply distracting the people from entering the masjid. They're discouraging people from entering the masjid. And this is a powerful verse. This verse is basically teaching us to be careful of preventing people from coming to the masjid. Be careful of preventing people from coming to the masjid. And tonight is the beginning of a long month where many people contribute towards convincing people to stop coming to the masjid. And sadly, that's the reality. We do always invite people, come to the masjid, it's Ramadan, come and pray, we invite people. But when they're here, sometimes someone steps on your toe. Brother, what are you doing? Right? This might be a new Muslim. This might be someone who thinks this is how they have to pray. This is all they know. They were taught this. They don't know anything else. And you all of a sudden, in your actions, the way that we treat the others, sometimes might make them leave the masjid and not come back. Or go to a different masjid and never come back to this one. So it's important during this month. It will be hot during Taraweeh. It will be long. We will stand next to some people who will smell like Jannah. We will stand next to people who we will wish would just jump into Jannah for a second so they can smell like Jannah, right? There will be people who need a shower. Some people who just showered. There will be people who will push and shove to get into the front row. There will be other people who will not come and stand next to you when there's a space and a gap in the row. You'll find all different kinds of people coming to the masjid for Taraweeh. You'll be standing there. The imam is reciting 2 pages, 3 pages, 4 pages. You didn't even pay attention to a single word because you're thinking, why doesn't this person just come closer to me and close the gap? Right? It happens. It happens. We spend so much time during our salah thinking of the person next to us, what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, and so on and so forth, and we don't focus on what's being recited during salah. Right? So this is the month for us to practice and prepare. And when you see someone do something wrong, when you see children running around, don't stop them from coming. Try and come up with ways that the parents can look after them. Set up something where you volunteer yourself and say, I will sacrifice my Taraweeh to look after 10 children so that the rest of the Muslims, brothers and sisters, can pray in silence or pray comfortably without being bothered and disturbed. I will sacrifice my time. I will do that. For those that are having trouble parking, they say, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice my time and go out there and help to make sure that the cars are parked properly. Right? Why? Because you'll get the reward of not only you standing and praying there in jama'ah. You sacrifice your time, your energy, and your spot in the masjid to pray that taraweeh so that other people can have ease and facilitation and make it on time. You'll get the reward of yourself and the others. Isn't that a beautiful reward? Isn't that something amazing? Isn't that something that we wish for during Ramadan? Not to be greedy and just get the reward for the actions we do. Why not try and get the rewards for the actions that many other people do at the same time? That's Ramadan. Strive to excel, to get the most that you possibly can. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to try and learn to assist people to come into the masjid and not stop them and turn them away from entering the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the last few verses that we'll take, which is near the end of the juz, where we will recite up until today, which is verse number 127, 128, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the incident of when the Kaaba was being built by Ibrahim and Ismail alayhim as-salam. The Prophet Ibrahim and his son who grew up to be a prophet as well. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلِ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. They were praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking him to accept their efforts, accept what they were doing. And look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted it. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the direction, the qibla that we pray towards was shifted in Medina from praying towards the north to praying towards the south. Praying towards the Kaaba, the qibla was then shifted to the Kaaba in Mecca, where it used to be in Jerusalem, right? It shifted and changed. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the honor in that building of the Kaaba and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted it in so many different ways. That we today go to the Kaaba to perform tawaf. We today go to make Hajj and Umrah around the Kaaba. We wish and desire to go and see this building of just simple blocks. Really, it's just bricks underneath that kiswa, the cover of the Kaaba. It's just modern day building blocks. At that time it was stone that was put together, right? And Ibrahim alayhi salam was standing on his maqam, that brick that was moving up and down with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he could take a stone from his son and go and build the house and build the walls higher and higher. And they made dua for you and me. They made dua for you and me in the verse that we just recited. رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. They made dua for you and I. They wished for a progeny that would come, a nation, people that would come, that would continue to worship and be known as Muslim. And you and I today are known as Muslim. And they wished that for us. And we are blessed with it. But how many people aren't? How many people live on our street that are not from amongst those that can say, I'm a Muslim? How many people live in our cities that are not from those who say, I'm a Muslim? How many people have passed away during our lifetime that we know of that could never claim, I became a Muslim? And we were blessed with that blessing, with the opportunity to be known as being part of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the family of Ibrahim and Ismail alayhim as-salam, those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who turn facing the qibla, which is in that direction. We turn towards that direction 5 times a day at least. Yet we don't realize the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is that we've been blessed with, that is placed upon us. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout our nights of Taraweeh, throughout the nights that we're listening and reciting the Qur'an, to grant us a deeper understanding for these verses, to now make us feel tonight in our first rak'ah after Salatul Isha, to know that I am facing the direction of the Qibla, the place where Ibrahim and Ismail built that Kaaba, they built up the walls. And they asked for me to be from amongst those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purely and solely. And here I am tonight, O Allah, during the month of Ramadan, seeking your forgiveness, standing before you, wishing to be forgiven for all the things that I've done throughout this year that I'm aware of and that I'm not aware of. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to be from amongst those who continue to do that throughout the entire month of Ramadan. آمين يا رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. جزاك الله خيرا.